Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone. Well, we love the pointy end of the season. It's Brad and Boffy on the Brad and Body Podcast. Round 21 is in the bank of the NBL. And of course, we're in the middle of semi-finals for the WNBL. For all our listeners, and by the way, hello, Chuck Harmison, because I saw him down in Wollongong. Botond! Hello, my friend.
Hello, Bradley. The semi-finals went pretty much exactly as we expected in the WNBL, but yep. We sure had some interesting results in the NBL that are still going to impact in this last round coming up. Yes. But I think with the semi-finals, they were quite convincing wins by the higher seeds, and I think it's going to be very difficult to see either of these series going to three games.
Couldn't agree more. Let's talk about them. Townsville, 88-60 on a 17-0 run start, 23-6, wasn't it, at halftime? Yeah, quarter time. Like that game was over. Yes, I agree with you. By the time people are listening to this, obviously the game will be wouldn't have been started. It'll be on, well, on obviously on Wednesday night. And I agree that Southside will be better, but I do not see them beating Townsville, Boddy.
No, I can't either. That 17-0 start was just so full of confidence, so full of self-belief that, you've come into our house and we're taking you out, and the shooting was phenomenal. 17-0, and then finally inside 4 minutes to quarter time was when Haley Peters, who's come off the bench, was made their first basket for it to get to 23-6 at quarter time. So it was
unbelievable.
It was just basically playing out time from that point forward.
Well, let's go to the Perth Lynx game, and like you said, that was a 86-76 win. Look, we've been predicting this all year, Townsville, Perth. We thought with Bendigo, we all got on the I don't think it can happen with Bendigo when Tolo left. Look, they put up a good fight, but not good enough, Boddy, obviously, and it's just a few pieces short, probably.
Yeah, the thing about that, though, is that going home, they would think, well, look, it was only a 10-point margin. You know, if we can fix A, B, and C, we might be able to force this to a third game. And I'm sure Kennedy Kariama, as coach of the year, is a very smart coach and will come up with some strategies, some adjustments. But, you know, there's so many shooters on that team. Like Ali Wilson goes for 24. It's her turn. You know, another day it's Chibatoni's. Another day it's Outwells. Another day it's Annalie Maley, or even that day. So there's always – and then they've got these kids like off the bench, like Gorman, that comes on and hits a three. And then, first basket of the game is a three-pointer by – Hanshu.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, basically there's just a little bit too much there in that Perth lineup for Bendigo, I think.
Well, five players, I mean, Alex Chibatoni played 29-29. Let's call that 30 minutes. They're starting five played all over 30 minutes, right? Three DMPs and a 15-minute and an 8-minute. So, you know, barring injury, I still stand by it. I know Townsville have, a very good team, but I can't see, even with home court advantage, I think Perth win this, Boddy, this whole thing.
Oh, you'd be hard-pressed to think otherwise. Yeah, I've said for quite some – since they got Andrew, I thought, well, now it becomes Perth's to lose.
You know,
and it'll take some good coaching from Kennedy Kariama to extend that to three in the semi. It'll take some good coaching from Shannon Seaborn and Townsville, presuming they're beating Southside, and I think most of us would be betting money on that. My best moment from the first round of the semis was Abby Ellis. She hit a three-pointer from
a
different postcode, I think. You know, Mackay or something. It was really a long way out.
I was going to say, she hit it from the pointy end of Australia. It was that far away. No, I completely agree. Look,
What was your player of the round?
Maley. I can't go past 24, 13, and 5. Now, she did have a few turnovers, but that's the type of game Annalie plays. I'll tell you what, she's been good these last back end of the season. I mean, she's been good all year, but really, like, just lifted it in, you know, coming into the playoffs. And now, obviously, that first game, I thought she was tremendous.
Do you think she was a bit inspired by the AFL's State of Origin footy, a bit of kicking going on in Perth at the weekend? Do you think that might have affected her in any way?
Touche. And that's where we end that. Who was your player of the round?
Oh, Annalie as well. Yeah, I know she got a little bit of strife and she's paid the fine. Izzy Borlase, I thought they did a very good job on her. I know Izzy went for 22 points, but it was on 7 of 24 with six turnovers. I actually thought Abby Wierung was a bit of a surprise packet for Bendigo. And Kelsey Griffin maybe wasn't quite as good as what she has been. I expect she'll be better at home. That'll be a good game too. I'm really looking forward to that.
And don't get me wrong, if I'm Perth, I'm throwing everything at Izzy to try and stop her. I mean, 22 points, you live with that with 6 of 17. Mind you, 16 rebounds for Izzy. That was a damn good effort from her. Seven assists as well, but six turnovers. But when you've got the ball in your hand as much as she has and what she had to do, you know, that's a credit to her as well that she's playing that well, that they're targeting her. So,
I did feel though, Brad, that at times, having just won the MVP, I felt she thought, I've got to do this. I've got to do this.
Yeah, and that's
I've got to
probably a
win.
bit of
And
growth that will
it's
come
like,
with
hang on a
that.
second.
Yeah, growth will come with that. So I agree with that. Well, look, that's it for the WNBL. Obviously, we've spoken about all the award winners and everything. So we wish all four teams the best in the coming days. And then by the time we speak next, we will be talking about our grand finalists. Moving on to the NBL. Well, what a round it was. Everyone at the moment, as we speak, has played 32 games. Everyone has one game left because it's obviously a 33-game season. And we had some fantastic games, but at the moment, Sydney are sitting on top, equal with Adelaide in win losses, but have a superior points for and against. Then you've got Southeast Melbourne. So the only real thing that can happen now is Adelaide or Southeast could end up third. Sydney will be first or second no matter what. But Adelaide have the chance and to get into the, they all have the chance to get into
That,
the
wait,
top
wait,
two.
wait. That's a huge presumption on your part, Brad. You're just hugely presuming that the team that is leading the league in their last game are going to beat the worst team we've had in the NBL for about a decade in Brisbane. Now, that's a big leap of
But
faith.
that's why I said they could come second.
God, if I'm Brisbane, I'll be, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's the scenario that is amazing. Melbourne can still come fourth, right? Because if Melbourne beat the Phoenix, which they're playing, remember, every team we talk about now has one game left. All right. So Melbourne can beat Phoenix. And then if Adelaide beat Perth, which can happen,
Absolutely.
then the finish will be Sydney 1, Adelaide 2, Southeast 3, Melbourne 4, Perth 5. Right? I think Southeast beat Melbourne, is my opinion.
I think so too,
And
probably.
then if they do that, Adelaide can still come second if they win, but then Perth can, it's all over the shop. Talk
So
to
the
me
other
about what you thought of the wins though,
Well, hang
and
on. What would
losses.
change that is if Perth was to beat Adelaide, and Southeast Melbourne was to beat Melbourne, then Southeast would jump into second,
Correct.
and Adelaide
Correct.
would drop down. So yeah, but then for Perth, there's the incentive of, well, they'll have seen by the time Perth plays Adelaide, they'll have seen the United Southeast Melbourne game, so they'll know the result
Well, this is the
as to whether
thing.
that impacts them
The
or not.
simple answer is if Phoenix win, Perth can't lose fourth.
Yeah, in
That's
which
it.
case that takes the edge out of that game, and that more than likely
But it
makes
doesn't
it
for
more.
Adelaide. Because Adelaide need to win, because if Southeast beat Melbourne, like you're saying, Perth guaranteed fourth, right there, Adelaide lose their third. If they win, they're second. Big difference.
Okay, well let's jump back to what we just saw. We started with Melbourne beating Cairns up there, although for a long time I thought Cairns had that, and then Andrew Andrews decided to show off his skills and turn over a couple of huge
Big
consecutive
turnovers.
turnovers,
Yeah, big turnovers.
three in the last four a couple of minutes. It was just terrible for your point guard. I mean, it was almost you sort of go,
Two ugly ones as well. Like not, you know,
unforced,
not, yeah,
unforced
unforced
skill
there.
errors.
Yeah,
Sort
really
of
ugly.
going, oh, geez, I wonder
And
if he
then we
ever.
obviously saw, well, Hawks had nothing against the Kings. I thought they were going to be better than that body. I really did. Wildcats, well, you and I can beat the Bullets at the moment. 36ers, geez, they got out of that one against New Zealand. Phoenix beating Tassie, which I thought was a pretty good game. But you know, Phoenix just in the end, Tasmania, well done, Deng, Majok Deng, great game, but just not enough. And then Melbourne, well, they
Let's
just had
go.
nothing against Illawarra.
Let's just jump back to that one though. If you're Tasmania's coach, if you're Scott Roth, and Majok Deng's got 36 points halfway through the fourth quarter, Do you leave him out there? Do you tell him in a timeout you need two buckets and you got 40?
Hell yeah.
Do you do that? That's what I'd do as a coach.
Yeah.
And I think he sat him down for the last couple of minutes. And I'm like, oh, geez, you know, how often is he going to get that close?
Yeah, no, hell yeah.
That's just a personal thing, I guess. I mean, the fact that Southeast Melbourne had six players in double figures and two with nine shows that their spread was incredible. They had 102 points up at three-quarter time.
I know. So, look, let's go bit by bit, and I just want to talk about the top six. And I just want you to give, like, a couple of words, and we'll start from the bottom up. Tasmania, my first thing, well done, Scott Roth. You've got teams below you. Everyone had injuries, probably no one worse than Tasmania.
Yep.
But you look at New Zealand, one would argue maybe with Cairns and Brisbane, tough injuries. I get that with who they lost. But New Zealand had a chance to be in there. Illawarra, really no excuse. They had enough, right? I know Jonah Bolden was out, and that's a big loss to them, but they had more than enough to be better than what they were. But well done, Scott Roth and Tasmania, for getting sixth spot. That's a huge effort with what they've lost this year.
It's sort of unfortunate that that's already decided because they got that. Because you got the Tasmania Illawarra game this week as the last game of the regular season. That would have been great if they had both been playing for that spot. Yeah. That would have made it terrific. Mm. Now it's kind of like it's an afterthought. It doesn't really matter.
Melbourne, wow, mate, you went 10-14 to finish the season. Like, wow, you are limping into this thing. I'm telling you, if I'm Tasmania, you are saying to Southeast Melbourne, can you please belt the crap out of Melbourne, right? Mm-hmm. So then they get fifth. Yeah, I'll go into John Cain Arena and I'll take on Melbourne, no problems at all. And we got a little something for Merton Doyle for leaving us.
But as you just said, for Scott Roth to have got this group into this position and to still have won games without Will Magnay and Bryce Hamilton, and of course Sean McDonald since day one, but you know, and with others in and out, like you know, David Johnson missing a big portion of the season as well, and Majuk Deng, all of them, you know, like and Anthony Drimmick with his back problems.
Yeah,
for them to
they haven't had Drimmick all year, really.
No, but for them to still be in a position where they could win a playoff game, you know, it's like,
no, I agree. I completely. That's why I say, like, I'm just like amazing to take that team with, you know, like they lose David Johnson early in the season, bring in another import, bring him back. They lost Sean McDonald, you know, like, or everything they've had to deal with. And they just haven't, you know, I mean, like Sam Wardenberg is a huge out, right? Yeah. No question, right?
Yeah.
But it just feels like Tasmania have just lost everyone.
Mm. So here's the question for you. Why is it, under those circumstances, that not a single person other than you or I would mention Coach of the Year? He won't even come close, Scott. He won't even come close.
No, it's a valid point.
But he won't even be in the conversation. But what we just discussed there.
It's a valid point. It's a valid point with what he has had to do. Yeah, I can't question it. Anyway, we've moved on to Melbourne. Look, Perth, they'll come fourth or fifth. I don't know. Something just tells me they'll come fourth because I think Adelaide will come third. That's where my brain's at. But Perth, do you think they can cause an upset, buddy?
No.
Do you think if there is a Tasmania or Melbourne going into Perth? Now, I'm putting a lot of assumptions here. Because, right, but do you think anyone beats Perth in Perth from those two teams below?
I tell you, the semi-finalists will be Sydney, Southeast Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth.
I think it'll be – oh, hang on. Are you saying Sydney versus South?
Or No. I'm just merely saying that, that
I think
Melbourne
semis,
and Tasmania, one of them will win a game and then they'll be gone.
Right. I think the semis will actually be Sydney-Perth, Southeast Adelaide. And
more
I don't think it matters right now because I think the way it will work out, that's what I think will happen.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I tend to agree. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go further. Are Adelaide ready to win this?
Well – look, I was a little disappointed that their social media people posted the post-game reaction and behaviour in the change rooms after they managed to beat New Zealand at home in front of a 10,000-plus crowd in Adelaide. They managed to beat a New Zealand that was without three starters. That's 60% of their starting lineup in Sam Meninga, Karim Lopez and Rob Baker. They managed to beat them needing Bryce Cotton to score 42 points, and then their carry on in the change room afterwards is like they just won the championship. It's like I would have come in with the heads down and gone, guys, we've really got to get our act together because this is not good going into finals. So they've got the talent, but I don't think they've got the mindset.
Completely agree, buddy. I'm very concerned about them, is my honest truth. I just don't know. I've been on them all year where I really thought it would be them in a grand final series. I really did. I thought they've done enough to make the grand final, but it's something where I just think I don't think it's going to happen now. I'm not confident in them getting two wins in a three-game series against South East or Sydney.
The thing that they will get, and I know Adelaide fans who listen to our show are probably going to think I've got some agenda here. I haven't. They will get a lot of calls go their way because they've got Bryce Cotton. Mm-hmm. Right? And so you can say that the officiating most of the time in this is 50-50, but I reckon when you're playing Adelaide in Adelaide, it's more like 65-35. And I think that may help them get past Southeast Melbourne. I don't know. It's just a theory. Either way, I don't know. And when they get to the final, against Sydney, which is the likelihood, it's going to be tough to beat them.
Do you think anyone can beat the Kings in a 3 or 5 game series?
On current form, no. I think they go in with the best. In their sails, Barry.
If I'm any other team in that top six, I don't want to play the Kings until the grand final. Yeah. You're not beating the Kings in a 3-game semi, in my opinion, because I think it would be whatever happens, they back up. In a 5-game series, you have a chance. And the reason I say that is you've got more time to make moves, right? Yeah. And you can try and work out a way to beat this juggernaut at the moment. Now, the only thing that sits in the back of my mind, a 10-game winning streak, they're unbeatable. We all said that after a 9-game winning streak with Melbourne. Now, I know it's at the beginning of the year, but this Torrey Craig, he is phenomenal. No, I know, but this Torrey Craig thing, like,
that was huge.
And I've said it on air as well. It just reminds me of when Chris Williams came in to, Chris Carriwell. We had Chris Williams the first year, rest his soul, great player. But we had Chris Carriwell in the second year. And I remember, Smith.
Are you unbiased? It was just we.
No, just because I was assistant coach back then, so it was me, buddy. But I just remember when we bought, I think it was Jason Smith went down injured, and we bought Chris Carriwell in. And I just remember him walking in and the confidence and the calmness because he was in, he's out of Duke and a real like, and he just was a smart player. Didn't need the ball, made the right decisions, took the right shots. Great team guy. That's all I'm seeing with Torrey Craig. This guy is an NBA guy.
Yeah, and another example of that was one year when Melbourne Tigers were looking pretty competent.
Timmins.
And then Marcus Timmins came in for the last.
And then he did the same in Perth, didn't he, from memory?
Yes. So we've seen this before.
Yeah.
And it's a winning formula. Bryce Cotton in Perth, first year.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've seen it before. So I think Torrey Craig makes a huge difference. I really do. I mean, I saw today, as we'll go through in a second, the nominees for the various awards, that Bull Quo was up for best defensive. You got to be kidding me. I know he played three or four good games towards the end before he hurt himself, but that bear hugging and stupid foul stuff.
He was, without a doubt, in my opinion, one of the best defensive players. Couldn't agree more.
I couldn't disagree more. He's rubbish.
I don't know if I can put him in with the amount of games he played. But to me, well, let's go through it now.
Holding on to people,
One thing I was surprised about is the Andrew Gaze trophy for the most valuable player. There is 11 players, one from each team and an additional one from the Kings with Xavier Cooks. To me, I'm still sticking to my guns. I was umming and ahhing, but to me, it is Bryce Cotton is still the MVP of this league. You?
Look, the reality for me is Bryce has won the MVP 5 times and he's now had a season where his numbers are pretty much superior or the best of his career. So if he's won it 5 times, then you would say, well, look, he's played better than those years. He's got to win it. But the caveat I'd put on that is that Kendrick Davis, when he was playing for Adelaide, is nowhere near as good as the guy that is playing for the Sydney Kings. So that step that he's made to be a facilitator and a better player makes him more valuable than what he was in Adelaide, where he was runner-up for
the MVP. Would you be against a dual MVP?
No, not at all. No, it's happened before.
I would like to see that, and I'd also like to see a dual best six man because I can't split Angus Glover and Kwot Noi. I love them both. I think they've both been fantastic. So hang on, let me go back, sorry, before we do this. So the MVP, most valuable player, and these are the nominees. John Brown, Zylan Cheatham. Oh, there was two for Adelaide. Sorry, I missed.
Yeah,
I forgot
crazy.
I said before.
These are crazy.
Zylan Cheatham, Xavier Cooks, Bryce Cotton, Kendrick Davis, Christian Doolittle, Bryce Hamilton, PJC, JaVale McGee, Jack McVeigh, Nathan Sobey. I've got two questions. One, that's a lot of players. Does that mean all of them make first NBL and second team?
More than likely, yeah. Yeah, that's probably, you got them there, right there. So you've got 11, so somebody misses out. But realistically, there's out of those 11 names, eight are irrelevant.
Yeah, right, okay. I mean, to me, I'm with you. It is without a doubt KD, Bryce Cotton, Nathan Sobey, everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You completely
Hang
agree.
Hang on,
right.
let me just say, John really, prior to the Sydney game, the Perth coach saying that, oh, let's just play them one-on-one, you know, Christian Doolittle versus Kendrick Davis, and we'll see, you know, let's just, MVP is not about one-on-one, mate. MVP is about facilitating, making your team better, being the most valuable player in a group of players and in the league. It's not about playing one-on-one. That was the most ridiculous thing John Willey has said in a long time. And, you know, he said a few silly things, but that one's right up there.
Most improved player, Josh Bannon, Flynn Cameron, Owen Foxwell, Makuuch Balawatch, Nick Marshall, Sam Meninga, all great seasons. I'm still sticking to Flynn Cameron.
Likewise. I was
great.
Yep, absolutely.
Best six man, I've mentioned mine, but I'll give you the others. Majok Den, well deserved. Angus Glover said it. Will Hickey, Kwot Noi, Nick Rakosevich. I'm saying Kwot Noi or Glover, and I would like that to be dual.
I do like the way Majok Den has finished the season too. But but yeah, I'm hearing you. Angus Glover deserves something. He's been a good player for a long
time. Hasn't he? Now, Damian Martin, Trophy of the Defensive Player of the Year, John Brown, Xavier Cooks, Doolittle, Bull Quoll, Will Magne, Nick Marshall, Tyson Walker. John Brown the third for me.
Yep,
great.
I still can't come at Bull Quoll. I'm sorry. Can't come at
Yep, that. Fair call. Next generation, Owen Foxwell, Jalen Galloway, Ben Henshaw, Kareem Lopez, Sam Meninga. I think Kareem Lopez gets that.
I think Sam Meninga has been a better player than Kareem Lopez for New Zealand.
Yes.
I agree with you. I think Kareem Lopez gets it because that makes him look good. If he goes on to the NBA, we can say, oh, look, he won an award in Australia.
I just think
realistically, Sam Meninga has been, he's only, what, 24?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that, so did Sam Froehlich got it. So it's a fair valid point you make. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fair valid. Now, just so we know, all coaches are in contention. They do not name the coaches. everyone gets a
crazy
thing.
Stu Lash, a big chance.
Oh, body comes out with the best quack. Oh, there we go. Righto, mate. Listen, I want your – let's start with the play of the round first, please.
The play of the round is going to be –
wonder who this is going to be, Botty.
The play of the round or the player?
Player of the round.
A player. That's easy.
Was there players?
Yeah, there's Bryce Cotton, 42 points, winning exactly. Basket. No, that's an easy one. But the play, for me, the play was was – one for the refs, where towards the end of the Illawarra-Melbourne game, William Hickey's on a fast break and Milton Doyle, having lost the ball, is frustrated and fouls him blatantly. The ball goes out off Hickey's leg and the referee calls Melbourne ball for out of court. Now, the call is completely incorrect. I mean, some would argue, hey, Hickey travelled, but, I mean, we don't call travels anymore. So forget that part. Then Hickey is a little bit annoyed, gets a tick foul. So this is what I love about umpires. They get the call wrong and then they compound
it. Referees, we're not playing footy, mate. None of this umpires bullshit.
Yeah. I like calling them umpires. That's what they are. look, so you made two errors for the price of one. And it really shows that it's fortunate that it wasn't significant in the result because it was already won by the Hawks. But it just shows that the standard of the officiating is so far below the standard of play that it's scary, mate. Anyway, that's my play. Who was your player?
Well, my player of the round is Bryce Cotton as well. I can't go ahead. Like, no way. Look, I'm going to, you know, a shout out because KD played two great games.
Yes,
mate, he played in Illawarra and didn't play that, you know, nearly a quarter and a half, right? And he was
24 and 9.
in a game that he sat the whole, he got four fouls with a couple of minutes to go in the third, and they sat him and never put him back on, right? And then he was tremendous against Perth as well. Unbelievable. And I keep saying it in commentary, and I know I get bagged, you're a Kings lover and all that crap. He and Bryce Cotton have been amazing to watch this year. And we, to me, and I go back to you, and I know you'll appreciate this. It's like Leroy. It's like Andrew Gaze. It's like these players. We are so lucky to be able to watch the era that these guys are in. They are unbelievable basketballers. Now, my play of the round was that, but I'm going to go straight on to my best moment. My best moment was JLA and Tim Suarez having their bumps and bruises and grinds. Mate, they're bumping each other, and I'm watching. I'm right there, right? And they're pushing, and then JLA points to him, and then Suarez points up to the scoreboard, the old, hey, look at the scoreboard, mate. And then he goes off, and they sub him out, and Timmy dunks it and then does his little up yours, and I loved it. But then I'm going to go on to my rattler, if you don't mind, straight away. Yeah. Right, my rattler is at the end of the game when JLA and Tim goes to shake hands and JLA pushes him. Now, that was a little bit, come on, mate, if you're going to take it, you got to give it. If you're going to give it, you got to take it, right? So I didn't think that was necessary. It's after the game. Yep, you shake the hands and you put that in the memory bank, because you might be seeing them in 2 weeks in a three-game semi-final game, and use that against it. But now you've reversed it, and they're going to use that against you. So there's my Rosen Rattler. Botty, over to you.
It's a very good one. And I just think I'm just going to lighten the mood a bit with my nasty this week. I'm going to say that if we're going to have a drinking game, you know, when you're watching an NBL game and you're going to have a drinking game when someone says something or someone does something, right, here's one. If you're going to have one, Nathan Sobey, playing for the South East Melbourne Phoenix, every time he touches his hair, you have a beer. I tell you what, by halfway through the second quarter, you are drunk. Okay, or another one, Brian Gorgian. How many times he opens his mouth, puts his tongue on his bottom lip? Okay, every time he does that, whoop. Sculling another one, I'm telling you, you're done by quarter time. And it takes me back. Do you remember when Chris Goulding had the longer hair and he kept tucking it behind his
Gold
ears?
Coast
a la Wayne's World.
Coast days. Yeah.
That one was a killer. I tried that once. I'm not going to say where I ended up, but it wasn't a good sight. That's my nasty call. Well, what have we got for the last round? Who are we picking? Who are you picking, Tasmania or Warren?
Yeah. How can you not, right? So Tassie to beat Illawarra, you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's at home. I'm reading the first. I think Taipans are going to upset New Zealand for the last game.
I tend to agree. I think Kansas has started to put their pieces back together.
Phoenix to beat Melbourne in Melbourne.
Yeah, very hard.
I'm going to take the first team first. Sorry. Melbourne versus Southeast in Melbourne. I'm going Phoenix.
What do you think, though? Just a segue. What do you think has happened to United? Because this is the same personnel that did go 9-0.
Yeah.
What has happened to them?
I think my opinion is I think teams have worked out a formula and Melbourne haven't counted it because they're not shooting the ball well enough from the three. They're missing that. And, you know, like you look at years gone by, Chris Goulding wins teams at a drop of a hat.
Yep.
You know, he hasn't had that season. I know there's been injuries and health and everything, which hasn't helped that team. But, I just think that there wasn't enough around him that if he's not, you know, shooting his 40% and playing at that level, you know, it's a little bit like, no disrespect, like look at Sobey last year at Southeast. They came good in the end, but, you know, like they needed that one player, Illawarra the year before, you know, like just teams like that, even the Kings, you know, like no, they had players last year and then Jalen Adams wasn't doing this or something like that in certain players. So, yeah, I just think Melbourne they're just that level below. They're still a very good basketball team. And a shout out to Dean Vickerman too.
Yes.
You know, the guy travelled to Cairns and then from what I believe it burst his appendix or he was in very severe pain and then he had to go and have an operation. And, you know, that's not easy away from family. And obviously as a head coach, well done to Reece Carter for taking over and getting a win up there. But yeah, shout out to him and thankfully it sounds like he's going to be okay.
I think he was in a lot of pain because on the flight they were showing him highlights of their last game with Sydney. Now, speaking of which, we've got Brisbane hosting Sydney.
Sydney are off to Brisbane just to have a training run. Right. So and then after that training run, Perth play Adelaide, and I'm really struggling with this, Body. I need to see the Melbourne Phoenix game before I give this, but I'm going to say Adelaide because Bryce Cotton is going home to Perth. Well, it's not home anymore, is it, really?
No,
but
it's
he's
not.
going
It's
to
not.
Perth.
I'd like to see. Are you anticipating Windler and Henschel are back in the team for Perth?
That's a great call. And yeah, if they're back, that changes everything.
Yeah.
But okay, then you throw this out. If Melbourne do lose, do you even bring Windler and Ben Henschel back?
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You don't. Maybe you don't.
All right, my fellow humans, thank you for listening to this rabble from Botty and I.
One last thing.
Oh, please.
The biggest game of the round.
The Ignite Cup.
Yes. Can New Zealand again throw away a double-digit lead and lose to Adelaide for the fourth time, fifth, whatever it is? Can they? I think they can.
Yes.
I think they're capable of losing. Yes.
I think they can.
I'm going with Adelaide. They're going to be $300,000 richer.
Hey, I want to leave everyone with this thought, and I want you to think about it as well, Boddy. How many coaching changes this season will there be at the end? I'm saying 5, and you try and work it out. 5 changes this season, new coaches. Have a great weekend, all, and enjoy the basketball. Enjoy the WNBL finals. Enjoy the NBL last round, and enjoy the Ignite Cup. That's been awesome. Botond! You get the last word, my friend.
Ciao for now, mate.
Is there any truth to the rumour that you're put in for the Brisbane Bullets coach?
The women's team, yeah.